that headed towards Golden City. What should I do now? He had managed to get a hold of a mage class, but it was just another beginning. He was familiar with how to deal with mages, but he didn't know as much about magic itself. One had to enter a school of magic or a guild to properly learn about magic from its foundations, but he had a curse that didn't bode well with that situation. Status screen. Curses. Sungchul brought up a screen showing the curses that had been cast on him. His eyes were filled with many words. Curses. Final declaration of Grand Mage Balzark. Intuition, minus 10. Edelweite, Witch of the Haunted Forest's Common Curse. Minus 5 strength, erectile dysfunction. Enemy of the Kingdom. Faction. Nemesis of Human Kingdom. Blank check reward. Enemy of the Allied Mages Guild. Faction. Nemesis of Allied Mages Guild and Subguilds. The immediate problem within the screen was the curse, which made him the enemy of the Allied Mages Guild. The Allied Mages Guild was an alliance formed between every guild, school, and military organizations, only excluding wandering or exiled mages. This was the kind of organization he had been declared an enemy of. He might be able to hide his identity with the Deceiver's Veil, but it was another matter to enter a guild or school with mages who were naturally suspicious and prone to deception themselves. As he briefly contemplated on a plan, a familiar friend lingered around his feet.
Kew, kew!
It was Krill's orphaned sky squirrel. Sungchul held out his hand for the sky squirrel to climb onto his shoulder.
There you are!
Farther north of the road, a man with a prosthetic limb wearing a dog hide robe smiled brightly as he walked over. It was the slave hunter, Christian Ashwood. Sungchul looked over the slave hunter without much thought as a serene smile suddenly formed on his lips. He had only now recalled Christian's former profession. Chapter 12. Admission.
You wish to learn magic?
Christian looked at Sungchul with a surprised expression. Sungchul nodded as he scooped out some red pepper and soy paste from the clay pot he had taken from his soul storage. He then mixed a whole ladle worth of sauce into the boiling pot.
I want to learn magic, using the identity of a newbie.
I see.
Christian was quick to catch on. He knew figures of infamy like Sungchul didn't appreciate being asked questions. He also realized that a unique opportunity had presented itself for him to prove his worth.
There are a lot of magic guilds and academies inside Golden City, but there aren't many places which can compare to Airfruit Magic Academy.
I've heard of Airfruit Magic Academy,
and killed many of its alumni. Sungchul added some soybean paste into the boiling water containing some of the river minnows, then tasted the seasoning using a spoon.
Mmm, it's good.
He had also gathered vegetables from a nearby farm and added them into the pot that was on top of a fire. Next to it was a stone cauldron, which was releasing a crisp aroma while being heated by the fire. Christian was dumbfounded as Sungchul continued cooking.
I wonder what kind of person he is, filling his rare soul storage with nothing but food, and with such strange and difficult to find ingredients.
The soul storage was a personal storage which was earned through a soul contract. Any item could be pulled in and out from it at any time. However, as with most soul contracts, obtaining a soul storage was a difficult task and required an enormous sum of money. The most common variety, soul storage common, had 10 slots and cost as much as a property located in the inner city. It wasn't necessary to explain how valuable such a storage space was. Yet this mysterious man was using such a precious soul storage for storing food. He hadn't seen or heard of someone doing the same. It left Christian speechless. Sungchul pulled out another consumable from his soul storage, an emerald wine bottle and a shot glass. He poured himself a shot and tossed it back whole.
Kah!
He put down his shot glass and vigorously mixed the boiling spicy stew with the fluffy rice he had prepared in the stone cauldron before giving it a taste. Sungchul closed his eyes, enamored in the taste of his own cooking. This food score is 24 points. It was a below-average score, but he didn't mind. He didn't know how the chef class's scoring system worked, but it would frequently give a low score to traditional Korean cuisines, especially something like pickled shrimp, which never received a score that was higher than 10, no matter how tastefully he had prepared it. I don't know on whose taste the chef class's scoring system is based on, but he or she has the preference of a child. He cleaned out his bowl of rice, along with the distilled drink in his green bottle, before speaking to Christian, who had been spacing out. I'd heard that it's tricky to get into Erfurt. Is that true?
Yes. It is a bit tricky to get admitted. You have to be young and dressed properly. Also, they weigh the recommendation of the referrer quite heavily.
And the exam?
They do give an exam, but it doesn't mean much.
Is that right? Sungjo wasn't young, and he was dressed quite poorly. He also didn't have someone to give him a recommendation. Is there no other place? I want somewhere easy to get into that teaches a lot of magic and also guarantees fast growth. When Sungchul asked again, Christian replied confidently with his plan.
There is no school within the vicinity of Golden City that can be comparable to Erfurt. It is easy enough to lie about your age, and your appearance could be sorted out by giving your hair a good combing. The most important part is the recommendation, but I am prepared to find someone for you.
Christian pulled out a gem from his clothes and smiled. The gem was the same one Sungchul had given him as a sign of trust.
With a gem of this quality, it should be a piece of cake to prepare a recommendation. I'm personally acquainted with a professor who's in charge of admissions. I'll try leveraging him with this gem.
Christian spoke with a confident smile. After hearing his spiel, Sungchul pulled out another small pouch and offered it to Christian. A pleasant clinking sound could be heard coming from within. Christian briefly looked into the pouch and swallowed loudly at its contents. It was filled with gold coins with 99.9% purity.
Use it. This is too much. A single gem would be enough, but this kind of fortune.
Sungchul rose from his seat. I'll head over to Golden City first. When can I expect results?
With this much, I should be able to get it done in no time at all. I will prepare a report by this evening.
Really? I'll be below the clock tower when the sun sets. Give me a progress report then.
I understand.
Do the dishes too. Make sure to scrub down the pots. Sungchul left his empty dishes with Christian, then headed towards the city that was lit with golden lights. Golden City. It was an independent city, free from any external faction's grip, and was also a gathering point for adventurers, which meant that it was the ideal starting point for all rookie summoned to begin their journey. A festival was being held within Golden City in honor of the newly graduated rookies from the summoning palace that had overcome all of their trials. The scattered few that entered the city were greeted at the entrance by a welcoming crowd.
For the new bloods of Otherworld! Over here! To Otherworld! We welcome you!
Women wearing garlands carrying beautiful smiles on their faces guided the summoned over towards the plaza. The summoned, who were completely oblivious to the proceedings, were led by the hands of the city folk to the plaza to receive a surprisingly grand welcome in the middle of an audience. Food and alcohol were provided to the summoned, while gaudy music and dances were performed in various places within the plaza. People called this the Celebration of Beginnings. It celebrated the memorable moment in which seedlings arrived from the modern world to overcome the trials of the summoning palace and take their first steps into Otherworld. This event was attended by not only the citizens of Golden City, but also by people of all classes, including adventurers, clergymen, and even figures who possessed enough power and influence to shake Otherworld. An obvious objective was the welcoming of rookie summoned to congratulate them wholeheartedly, but the real reason was to observe and recruit them. Dmitry Medyov, the favored retainer of the powerful human empire located at the center of the continent, came with that purpose in mind. He lazily watched the summoned, who were raucously socializing while eating and drinking heartily.
How is it? Anyone worthwhile?
A middle-aged man with a flashy robe took a seat next to Dmitry and struck up a conversation. His name was Armuk Bakr, He was the lieutenant general of the coalition forces stationed in Storm Battlefront, which was one of the three most powerful forces in the northern regions. Two individuals, each holding enough of a reputation to leave others slack-jawed, had gathered here. Several people had focused their attention on them, and many whispers had started spinning fantasies regarding the purpose of such gargantuan characters in coming here. But the people on whom all of this was revolving around didn't pay them any mind.
Meh. I don't see anyone useful.
Dimitri swirled his wine glass while furrowing his brow.
Didn't you hear? The summoning pillar stopped spitting out rough gems ever since the pre-selected became common practice.
Armuk nodded in agreement at Dimitri's rhetoric, but he pointed at one character. It was Cheng Shik Cheng.
It turns out Blanche Plaza managed to produce one decent item. He's a rare breed that has the battle sense, ability, and fighting spirit.
So what? He's already taken by the Ancient Kingdom. They'll probably take him away after the festival ends to eat some dust with them in that worn-down palace.
Probably right. But did you know?
Armuk broke into a knowing smile and tried his luck. Dimitri tipped his glass in indifference, but Armuk's last few words had managed to pique his curiosity.
They say the memorials of the seven heroes have disappeared. Not just one, but three of them.
That can't be true. Weren't the remaining memorials determined to be impossible to complete after numerous attempts that were made over several thousands of years?
Dimitri's body shivered at the memory of Estiare's trial.
It was traumatic to gaze into that crazy woman's insanity. No sane person could have gotten through it. Yep, no way.
However, Armuk seemed to be telling the truth.
That used to be the case.
He was clearly speaking in the past tense. Dimitri stared blankly at the empty ground before taking a swig from his wine glass.
Is that really true? Why would I lie?
Dimitri's eyes turned back to the rookie summoned who were now standing there and enjoying the festival.
So you're saying that among the summoned gathered here, there are three individuals that managed to obtain the secret tomes of the seven heroes. Someone who even managed to watch Vestiare's horrifying nightmare.
It could be just one. We can't ignore the possibility of it being a regressor.
A regressor?
Like the others in power, Dimitri did not think highly of regressors. It was an infallible rule of reality that those who had failed once would continue to fail. Armuk observed his expressions and continued to speak.
And there's another rumor, saying that one of the rookies summoned didn't visit Golden City and instead chose to disappear into the Eastern Wastelands. This one had a relatively good result in the summoning palace, too. Isn't that a typical pattern for regressors?
It can't be a regressor. The seven heroes aren't so generous as to accept those pathetic bastards who have already failed once. Even if it was a regressor, they couldn't have gone far. The hunters from the religious order wouldn't leave them alone.
Dimitri lightly shook his head and looked over at a woman. She was quite a beautiful Asian woman. He called a servant to confirm her name.
She says her name is Song Hepei, a niece of a high knight belonging to the Order of the Iron Blood Knights.
His lips curled into a smile after hearing the name of the Order of the Iron Blood Knights.
The Order of the Iron Blood Knights? I thought they were bygones. I guess they managed to scrounge up some money to grease up the summoning palace.
He lost interest and looked over to another person.
What's that? Is he trying to be some kind of a fucking bum?
There was a shabby man, wearing drenched military fatigues and a pair of jeans. Dimitri pointed at him and made a joke.
That guy looks like he rolled around the summoning palace by himself for 10 years. Look at his clothes!
Now that I look at it, his clothes look familiar. Just wait a bit.
Armuk suddenly clenched his fist. A blue flame appeared and twirled around his fists before a single book popped out. He turned the pages, patiently skimming through it before letting out a shallow sigh.
It's some nobody, but his name is quite unsettling.
What's his name?
It's a name I should not speak out loud. He has the same name as the enemy of the world.
Ha! That's one hell of a scary name. But his looks don't seem to match. And his physique also doesn't look too impressive.
It could be someone with the same name. There are plenty of Koreans with Kim as their first name?
Shall we check out Mr. Enemy of the World Stets?
Dimitri's eyes lit up. Several miniature magic runes appeared in his eyes that spun like a wheel before they relayed the information he wanted in front of him. Sungchul Kim's stats and class. Stats: Strength 24, Dexterity 25, Stamina 26, Magic Power 32, Intuition 25, Magic Resist 21, Resilience 18, Charisma 18, Luck 18. Class: Main Class, Mage, Common. Subclass: Alchemist, Rare. A mocking laughter spilled out of Dimitri's mouth.
Only his name is Sungchul Kim. There's no way for that guy to come to this place. The entire military force of Otherworld would be deployed if he were to appear anywhere.
The man in the shabby field jacket, who was taking sips of alcohol with a blank expression, did not show any sign of being aware of the powerful men that were watching him. After the festival was over, he waited for his guest under the massive clock tower which bore the city's name. He didn't need to wait for long.
Sir Warrior!
Christian Ashwood. The man, who had changed from the doghide robe to a shimmering black robe, arrived with a face filled with shame.
The results?
I have secured your admission, even though it cost half of your gold. However...
His words trailed off, causing Sungchul to burst out sternly.
Speak!
There is a bad rumor spreading across the academy.
What kind of rumor?
Christian deeply gulped before replying.
The followers of Calamity. People say they are active in the academy. It made my job easier because of that, but...
The followers of Calamity.
Sungchul repeated the name as though he was savoring it. Mages would naturally come to study the source of magic, which they called the truth. If this search for the truth were to stop at a reasonable point, it would be beneficial for both the mages themselves and to Otherworld as a whole. But there were some who would sacrifice everything for their research. Fortune, flesh, and even their lives. Undead mages, such as liches, were prime examples of this. However, there were those that would go even past this point. They were the supporters of the Calamity.
These fanatics believed that the key to the true secrets of magic was hidden behind calamities sanctioned by the gods. All the mages who Sungchul had casually slaughtered were these very same followers of Calamity. Christian struggled to continue his story while wearing a pained expression.
This was my school, but it might not be suitable to go anymore. Death and curses, betrayal and sinister plots plague any place the followers of Calamity are found.
It was at this moment when he tried to carefully observe Sungchul's face. Unexpectedly, Sungchul was smiling.
That would fit me just fine.
Erfurt Magic Academy, a school which looked more like a castle in size and appearance, occupied the region at the foot of a rocky mountain which ran along the northern region of Golden City. Sungchul confirmed the admissions form he had received from Christian. As was fitting for a top-rank school, it used neat calligraphy and was well-decorated, but the current situation facing the school was not so great. With indifferent eyes, Sungchul looked at the corpses hanging from a nearby oak tree which was standing tall beside the school gates. A ghastly signpost written in deep red paint stood in front of it.
Only death awaits the masses who commit heresy. Heresy Inquisitor Magnus Maxima.
Even an inquisitor is involved now.
The situation of the school was worse than he had expected. It had allowed him to be admitted by simply greasing a few palms, but Sungchul could see the deep darkness that was looming over the entire academy.
I'd heard from Christian.
Head of admissions, Robert Danton was a scrawny and tired-looking middle-aged man. He briefly glanced over Sungchul's documents before putting them away, then pulled a pipe to his mouth and lit it.
I heard you were a summoning palace graduate.
That's right.
How did you know of this place? It couldn't have been easy to find, seeing that we're on the fringe of Golden City.
I was a pre-selected. My backer, who I won't name, heard about this school from the mage that was taking care of me.
Sungchul responded, like always, with an indifferent tone. Hearing that he was a pre-selected, Robert narrowed his eyes slightly and nodded.
I see. You did seem different from the average rookie summoned.
Robert sifted through his folder and pulled out Sung Tril's document, then stamped a seal on its corner using a hammer-shaped stamp. After stamping it twice, he sucked deeply on his pipe and spoke curtly while releasing a white puff of smoke.
With this, the admission process has been finished. Anything needed in daily life will be relayed to you by the resident's assistant that is waiting outside, so just follow whatever he says.
Sung Tril got up from his seat and gave him a nod. When Sung Tril began to open the door, he spoke again.
By the way, you have heard the rumors, yes?
Robert's sharp voice coiled around from behind him, stopping him in his tracks. Sung Tril slightly turned his head and peered over at Robert's face before speaking. I've heard the followers of Calamity or something have appeared on campus.
You've come here, even after knowing that.
Robert shuffled through his possessions before pulling out a single bright gold coin and smiled.
Welcome to a dying school.
What he held in his hand was the gold that Sung Tril had given to Christian. A familiar monster awaited him outside the office.
Hey, disciple, please come this way, yo.
It was a homunculus. Other than the scholarly garb, none of the sickly appearance, annoying voice, and arrogant attitude had changed. Sung Tril watched the homunculus walking closer to him and thought for a moment.
If I recall, these creatures were created from a mage's flask to mimic fairies.
The homunculi were counterfeit fairies. They were similar in size and copied a fairy's manner of speech, but compared to the lovable and cute appearance of the fairies, the homunculi were grotesque and repulsive in looks. Even their magical abilities were not comparable. In other words, they were the weaker and poorly crafted knockoffs, but they were often used because they had quite the utility when properly trained.
Disciple, this residence assistant is responsible for the general guidance and encouragement of your honor's school life, yayo? This teaching assistant only speaks once, so clench your butthole and listen carefully, yayo?
The resident's assistant led him towards the registrar's office.
This registrar's office is for choosing what school of magic you wish to learn. Hurry up and tell the staff what school of magic you wish for, yayo.
His pace was disturbed by the unexpected intervention of the homunculus, but Sung Tril knew what he needed to do from this point onwards.
So this is the registrar's office.
There were folders filled with documents. An elven woman who was seated behind a desk looked over in his direction with wide open eyes. Sung Tril had asked Christian about the most powerful magic one could learn in Erfurt, to which he replied without hesitation.
If you're talking about magical might, the school of pyromancy is always among the top. If you're talking about the school with the most powerful spells, that would be the school that utilizes the power of the skies, the school of cosmomancy.
The school of cosmomancy? The group that uses meteor?
Christian nodded. However, Sung Tril's response was lukewarm.
Cosmomancy. I can definitely attest to their might, but isn't their magic only useful during large-scale war?
The king of demons that Sung Tril had to get rid of was an experienced warrior, as well as a crafty mage. There was no way he would allow himself to be hit by a magic like meteor that had a long casting time and a slow activation rate.
It is commonly known that cosmomancy is strong in large-scale battles and weak against single foes, but the reality is a bit different.
It was then that Christian put forth a different point of view.
There are a few experienced mages of cosmomancy that can call down the pure light from the heavens to incinerate most of their foes.
I've never seen such a magic.
At least among the ones Sung Tril had faced, there were none that had used such a magic. Christian smiled bitterly before replying,
It is extremely difficult to learn. The required intuition and magic power is so high that it takes 5 whole years just to learn the primary spells.
5 years?
Yes, by the standards of an average rookie. It isn't easy to surpass 130 magic power and 100 intuition just through reading and meditations without having any foundation. And as you know, the effectiveness of trying to raise stats using basic tasks gives diminishing returns at higher levels.
Sung Tril nodded and said,
That is correct. It's why people risk their lives for duels and quests, especially missions, if they can manage it.
However, aren't you a great and powerful warrior? If it is you, Sir Warrior, you would be able to rapidly grow through various quests and events by choosing the School of Cosmomancy as your main school and Magic Swordsmanship as your subschool.
Christian's plan was precise, containing no room for error. He handed Sung Tril a booklet with all the quests and the people related to well-known events recorded within. Once Songchul had read through the booklet, he felt that here was a man that repays his debts. A person like Krill would simply have recommended the school of pyromancy without a second thought. However, a question formed within Songchul. Why did you recommend the magic swordsmanship for the subschool? Couldn't I choose something like pyromancy or cryomancy for my subschool? Christian shook his head and logically explained his reasons. Pyromancy, cryomancy, metallurgy, necromancy, cosmomancy, and the rest, which all form the schools of magic, have inherent resonance and flow accompanying them, and using any of them causes a distinct imprint, like age rings on trees, to appear on the caster's body. This is what was referred to as a magical fingerprint. A single mage who held two or more magical fingerprints would eventually suffer negative side effects from each print working against the other. In minor cases, they might become unable to cast top-tier spells, but in some extreme cases, they might die from a volatile reaction. This is the reason for the needed prerequisite that sub-schools should not create their own magical imprints. Schools such as magic swordsmanship, dimensional magic, druidism, divination, empathomancy, and alchemy were all included in this category.
What will you choose for your main school? Both the schools of cryomancy and pyromancy of our academy have a good reputation.
The elven woman handed Songchul a catalog of all the main schools of magic. A current list of famous alumni mages of the school was listed within the five schools of magic: pyromancy, cryomancy, necromancy, electromancy, and cosmomancy.
There are definitely a lot of figures within cryomancy and pyromancy, some with important roles within magic guilds, and some were even royal mages.
On the contrary, there was only one name under cosmomancy, Altugius Cero, Airfruit Magic Academy's professor. Not even a headmaster, but just a normal professor. The weight of his name was incomparably light compared to the weight of the other alumni that were on the list. Regardless, Songchul didn't hesitate and stepped on the path which had been decided.
I've decided on cosmomancy.
Oh my. You're going with cosmomancy? Even if you're a Summoning Palace graduate, that still isn't an easy task.
His will wasn't so easy to bend. Looking at his resolute eyes, the elven woman didn't bother saying anything more and wrote something onto a document.
What will your subschool be?
Similarly, she presented a complete list of subschools taught by Airfruit: magic swordsmanship, dimensional magic, druidism, divination, empathomancy, and alchemy were listed in the catalog. Songchul briefly deliberated between magic swordsmanship and alchemy. It wouldn't be an exaggeration to say there was nothing more for him to learn regarding magic swordsmanship, as the magic swordsmen he had faced so far were nothing more than swordsmen that happened to know magic. He had fought with someone that claimed to have reached the pinnacle of the discipline, and so Songchul had witnessed firsthand its limitations. Thus, he couldn't bring himself to feel even the slightest inclination towards magic swordsmanship.
Cheap tricks might work in a close match, but it's meaningless against absolute strength.
He might be able to easily and plentifully gain access to quests and events that existed around the school with the choice of magic swordsmanship, but it didn't suit him to walk such an easy path. As long as he had been brought to the Hall of Learning, it would benefit him to learn at least one single new thing before the final battle. After a lengthy deliberation, he spoke firmly to the yawning elven woman.
I'll go with alchemy.
The elven woman squinted at him and muttered quietly,
My, my, he chose unusual schools for both. Such unique preferences.
Songchul didn't mind it and left the office. A red-faced residence assistant was waiting for him outside the office.
This human, no, disciple, did you think you came here to play cards at the senior center, yo? Why did you take so long? Don't you know what a busy homunculus this residence assistant is, yo?
He couldn't find a reason within himself to reply to such an inferior organism. Instead, he pointed towards the front. Next course.
Truly an arrogant disciple for a rookie. Okay. This residence assistant has a reputation built up through the years, so I'll hold in my anger this one time, yayo. Follow me, yayo.
The homunculus guided him to a narrow room with a large mage's hat sitting within. The hat looked unsettling, with eyes, nose, and mouth that appeared like a human. Sung Churl knew the identity of this hat. It was the aged Jorgbart. It was a living hat. When it is placed on a head, the Airfruit Magic Academy's heirloom would instantly understand the student's aptitude and talents and determine the name of the appropriate dorm for them.
Over there! Hurry and wear the honored hat! Once you wear the honored hat, it will recommend a suitable dorm for the disciple Yayo!
The resident's assistant began to circle around Sung Churl and tried to rush him. Sung Churl sat on a chair and quietly looked around as he placed the hat with the human face on his lap. He said there was a trick to wearing this hat. According to Christian, the aged Jorgbart would acknowledge your desire and repeat the desired dorm's name if you were to shout out a dorm's name 3 times inside your mind. It wasn't clear how such a thing could happen, but he placed the aged Jorgbart on his head. The next moment, a familiar feeling could be felt on the crown of his head. A smile appeared on his lips.
This is an incubus.
Sung Churl immediately determined the hat's identity. They had placed an incubus within the hat and scammed people into believing that it was a talking hat. He couldn't know what kind of tricks had been used to get an incubus to speak, but he could feel the repulsive sensation of a tentacle peering into his head. At that moment, he stopped all thoughts for a moment and clearly revealed a single, clear objective in his mind.
I'll kill you.
Next, he thought up the image of an incubus caked in blood.
Hi!
The talking head shrieked. It was closer to a beast's cry than a human scream.
What happened? For the aged Jorgbart to scream? What an unprecedented incident, Yayo!
The resident's assistant that had been watching all of this paled and began running from side to side, while Sung Churl redirected his thoughts and loosened his mind before repeating a single word 3 times.
House of Recollections. House of Recollections. House of Recollections.
When the requirements were met, the screaming incubus stopped his screams and spat out the name Sung Churl desired using a mysterious voice.
House of Recollections.
With that, the eventful occurrence finally came to a close. The incubus were simple and ignorant creatures. As soon as Sung Churl took off the aged Jorgbart and placed it on the chair, the hat simply continued its existence as though nothing had happened, just like an inanimate object. Sung Churl approached the traumatized resident's assistant and opened his mouth.
He said, the House of Recollections?
I heard it too, but why the house? This feels like a mistake, Yayo.
The homunculus's response was odd.
The House of Recollections is a dorm that's no longer used.
Well, what can we do? The hat has already stated the dorm's name.
All things considered, the aged Jorgbart would obviously have priority over some homunculus regarding dorm placement. The resident's assistant looked skeptical as he led him to the House of Recollections. A bleak residence under the shadow of castle walls revealed itself. The garden was filled with withered thickets, and the building looked faded as though it no longer saw any use.
This is the House of Recollections. I have things to do, so I'm going to leave. Find a room yourself, Yayo!
The resident's assistant left the scene as though he was running away in fear. The terrifying exterior was one thing, but it was also the center of frightful rumors which made one's teeth shiver in the summer. Despite this, there was a reason that Sung Churl had chosen to make the House of Recollections his dorm. That was because it was among the oldest of the buildings in Airfruit, and as such, it contained the memorials of noteworthy predecessors. Of course, it was difficult for the average student to deal with, and beings born out of the accumulated malice also existed here. But if he could overcome such difficulties, he would be able to experience the rapid growth that he so desired. Without hesitation, he stepped further into the House of Recollections. Once the door was opened, the damp smell of mold assaulted his nose. Each step he took on the wood panel floor caused it to creak loudly as if someone was screaming. Sung Churl sensed a presence standing up on the floor above him. The presence quickly ran down the stairs without a sound and hid itself in the darkness that stretched out from the dorms. Judging from its actions, it probably planned on secretly observing Sung Churl. Sung Churl pretended not to notice and walked straight ahead. After brushing past a few spiderwebs, he came across a dining room that was illuminated by candlelight. The dining room consisted of 5 wooden tables large enough to seat 4 people, but 4 of the tables were covered with a white cloth as if they were no longer in use. On the contrary, the last remaining table had a vase on it, together with a freshly preserved flower.
Who dares to disturb my rest?
It was at this moment that the presence Sung Churl had noticed earlier spoke to him. It was a feminine voice that had an eerie wail as though from a ghost. It was probably a trick to scare Sung Churl away by pretending to be a ghost, but such trivial tricks would never work on him. Sung Churl kept an expressionless face as he continued forward on his way to the stairs, eventually passing by the room where the mysterious woman hid.
How impudent, ignoring my warnings!
Once again, the voice of the woman reverberated from behind. At the same time, a strange wave passed through the entirety of the dormitory, causing objects to float and shake ominously. At the same time, a thick mist settled in the stairway to block vision, and the objects began to rattle even more violently. The mysterious spectacle was so unsettling that an unsuspecting passerby would have been scared out of their wits and would long since have been sent running. But Sung Churl remained unfazed as he continued walking up the stairs. By the time Sung Churl had stepped on the last step of the stairway, the floating objects had settled back down and the mist had vanished.
You? Do you really want to die?
The voice of a young girl rang out from behind him. Sung Churl paused to look back. A blonde girl dressed in white was glaring up at him, full of anger. She had an appearance of a 15 or 16-year-old. She had such a beautiful appearance that, given a few years, she would be able to charm a great number of men. But there was one crucial problem. It was impossible for a child of her age to exist in this world. The so-called final generation, who had narrowly escaped the curse of extinction, were all in their 20s. In other words, all children under the age of 20 had been afflicted by the god's curse and suffered from an agonizingly painful, incurable disease, and for the most part, they had all already died. Even if they had somehow survived, they were stuck in a state that was between the living and the dead. Sung Churl believed that the blonde girl before him was an apparition of a child from the latter case. He soon discovered the reason. This child, she is no longer alive. He could hear her irregular breath, but not her heartbeat. In other words, her lifespan had already ended. She was now a living corpse. Soul engraving. Once the Eye of Truth was activated, Sung Churl spotted a much more severe problem that was plaguing the girl. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, dozens of different types of preservation magic were enclosing the girl like a cocoon. It was a spectacle that showed the mage's obsession to preserve the girl's original appearance, despite all circumstances. At that moment, Sung Churl felt an ache from a corner of his chest and a frown formed on his face. In the girl, he saw the mad struggle of a man who desperately fought to keep her alive, who would do anything and everything to save the one who was dear to him. Their methods were different, but what they sought was the same. While Sung Churl remained silent, the girl took a step closer. The girl confirmed the frown on his face and gave a mischievous grin.
Finally, you act surprised.
Sung Churl looked at her wordlessly.
Now can you get out? This is my house. I'll be troubled if an outsider like yourself comes in brashly.
The girl waved her hands, gesturing for him to leave. The motion of her hands was enough to wake Sung Churl from his heavy-hearted reminiscence.
Ah, I was spacing out.
Sung Churl quietly regained his calm while tasting a deep bitterness spreading in his mouth. He opened his mouth while looking at the girl once again.
Sorry, but I'm not an outsider.
Hmm? What do you mean?
The girl crossed her arms while spreading her feet slightly before donning an attitude of daring him to explain himself. Sung Churl confidently explained the reason why he was here.
I'm a freshman that was admitted today, and the Age of Jorgbart designated my dorm as the House of Recollections. Do I need any other reason?
Really? That ancient Jorgbart?
There was an effect. The girl appeared surprised. Sung Churl used this momentum, adding in another statement.
If he didn't, why would I leave aside all those other normal dormitories and choose this eerie place?
You're not wrong. In any case, if Jorgbart designated this dorm as your own, I have no right to refuse. I can double-check with the homunculus, but that can be put off until later.
The girl who had been dying to chase Sung Churl out became quiet as she fell in deep thought. Eventually, she let out a sigh and looked defeated.
I guess I can't do anything. I'm also a student of Erfurt Academy, after all. I will respect the old man Jorgbart's decision, since that's also part of our tradition.
The unknown girl dropped her shoulder and turned around, but quickly turned back again, looking vexed, speaking in a warning tone.
My name is Sarasa, School of Cryomancy. I don't recommend underestimating me because of how young I look. I'm 5 years your senior.
Finishing her introduction, Sarasa swiftly turned around and ran up the stairs.
Use any empty room on the first floor. It's a little messy, but the cleaning supplies are in the storage closet next to the dining room, so make use of that. Be sure to put it back after you've used it. The second floor is for female students only, so you are not allowed up on the second floor without getting my permission from the bottom of the stairs first, so don't forget that. I'm not very nice.
Once she was done nagging like a mother-in-law, she went up the stairs in a few light movements and disappeared into the darkness. In the silence that returned to the surroundings, Sung Churl stared in the direction Sarasa had disappeared to for a while longer. An undead who hasn't yet accepted her own death. Sung Churl began walking around on the first floor to pick his room. Soon, he found an empty room at the end of the hallway that he claimed as his own. It was a messy room that was filled with dust and cobwebs, as Sarasa had warned, but Sung Churl didn't mind. At the very least, it had walls and a roof that would shelter him from the wind and rain, and also a bed he could rest on. I'll do some cleaning tomorrow. Next day, Sung Churl was led by the resident's assistant to head to the school building for cosmomancy. The building for cosmomancy was located precariously on the edge of a steep cliff on the northern region, the highest area, within the border of the rocky mountain and castle walls that surrounded Erfurt Academy.
There used to be a magically operated lift that would bring us to the top, but for some reason it isn't operational anymore, yayo.
Sung Churl and the resident's assistant had to carefully climb a precarious flight of stairs carved into the cliff wall. There was even a broken segment in the stairway where visitors had to make a potentially life-threatening jump to reach the other side. The resident's assistant barely made it across and then shouted proudly,
"Now, disciples' turn! Time to show your courage, yayo! Humans who have longer legs and therefore superior jumping power than myself should be able to make it. Being unable to do this would mean you are a poopy human, yayo!"
Sung Churl leaped over the gap lightly, making the resident's assistant eat his own words. The smile on the resident's assistant's face faded as quickly as it came.
I guess it is as expected for a summoning palace graduate. On a completely different level than your average resident, yayo. Well, it's not like there is any resident left to come here anymore, though.
After they climbed the steep set of stairs that felt like a rock wall, they finally arrived at the Cosmomancy school building located at the peak of the mountain. The building was a stone structure of medium size, and its defining feature was a large telescope attached to its round dome on the top.
Now it is time to enter, disciple!
Sung Churl left behind the resident's assistant and pushed his way through the heavy doors to enter the Cosmomancy school building. The first thing that caught his gaze was the jade-colored interior. Another part was that the entire interior of the building consisted of a small number of pillars, with no walls or floors separating the rooms, and an open space with the domed ceiling at its center. So any sound made in the building would be amplified, and anyone in the building could see each other at all times. Within a building, which resembled a cathedral more than an academic building, Sung Churl saw two men. One was an old man whose hair and beard was almost halfway to having turned white. The wrinkles, etched by his age, didn't give off the feeling of dignity, but rather the feeling of stubbornness. His tightly shut lips had a weightiness that didn't look as though they would open so easily. The other person was an androgynous youth who looked magnanimous, in stark contrast to the old man. He was laying in a hammock tied between two pillars and reading a thick book as if it were a magazine. The first person to respond to Sung Cho's appearance was the youth.
Who is this? It seems that a guest has arrived.
He stood up from the hammock and approached Sung Cho.
How did you end up here?
Sung Cho looked towards the old man behind the youth and answered briefly,
I've come to receive tutelage.
The youth smiled broadly.
It's been a while since we have had a newcomer.
He put his hand forward and introduced himself to Sung Cho.
I'm an inexperienced mage trying to learn the cosmomancy magic of the great Altugius, Leonard Sanctum.
Sung Cho Kim.
Sung Cho revealed his name as he grasped the youth's hand.
Oh, gee, what a terrifying name. Are you a summoning palace graduate by any chance?
Sung Cho nodded.
I see. A summoning palace graduate. I thought it was strange that we would get a newcomer so suddenly, so that's your story. Sorry for dragging things out. I believe the teacher is waiting, so let's step inside.
Leonard politely opened a path. Sung Cho didn't have any opinion on Leonard. He didn't have anything to evaluate him with aside from his extraordinarily reputable family name. At the very least, he wasn't so uncouth as to repeatedly stare at any specific feature of Sung Cho, nor did he mix any subtle self-praise into his words. Sung Cho approached the old man who sat on top of a stone pile arranged like a tree.
I've come to receive tutelage.
Sung Cho was in no way inferior to that old man, but he decided to lower his head this one time. This was the proper attitude of someone looking to learn. The old man stared at Sung Cho with stubborn eyes, after which he pointed towards the air and summoned a single book. He had taken a book out from his soul storage. The old man handed the thick book over to Sung Cho and spoke in a clear, piercing voice.
I am a retired old man with nothing left to teach. Regrettably, you have chosen wrong from many possible choices, and the result was the misfortune of meeting me. All I can give you is this book.
The old man offered the book again.
I have become old, and my arms lack strength. Quickly take it.
Once Sung Cho had received the book, the old man turned his back towards Sung Cho and lit a pipe.
After a week, you will be given an opportunity to change your major. You shouldn't fritter your time away. Raising your basic stats by reading that book should help you in achieving the path you desire after this.
Those were his final words. It wasn't a trial, nor an attempt to size him up. He no longer tried to speak with Sung Cho. And it looked as though he would no longer listen to anything he had to say.
Altugius Zero, was it? The old man has already isolated himself from the world.
He had met an unexpected resistance. Sung Cho had heard from Christian that the cosmomancy professor Altugius Zero was a cranky and fastidious old man, but he never expected that the man had gone so far as to renounce his duty as a teacher. Sung Cho, who was still holding the book, stood at a crossroads. Leonard resumed his spot on the hammock and watched Sung Cho with a bemused smile. Currently, the number of students that had come to seek cosmomancy was a severe minority already, but when they met Altugius, who rejected even that small minority, they walked away without hesitation. Using this world's standards, the summoned standing there would arrive to a similar decision. How could he hope to learn anything under a teacher who refused to teach? But something surprising occurred. Unlike all the other newcomers before him, the black-haired youth, who wore a raggedy field jacket and worn-out jeans, sat down where he stood and began to read the book given to him by the professor. It was assumed that he would quickly grow bored and leave, but Sung Cho showed no sign of moving anytime soon. In this building, where even the smallest of sounds were amplified, the sound of each page turning was clearly transmitted into everyone's ears. Once Sung Cho had reached the 30th page, the old man finally turned back to take a closer look at the mysterious student who was sitting before him.
Chapter 13. Altugius.
The book's exterior looked plain, but as soon as it was opened, the mystique of magic that was hidden within became visible. The illustrations drawn in black ink sprang to life and began moving. The lines and shapes it held that were disorderly on the first page began to repeatedly rearrange themselves in a loop. The completed form displayed the shape of a magical formation. Information regarding it appeared on the bottom of the first page. Understanding magic is not the ability to vaguely recall the finished product, but the thorough and complete understanding of every component which forms the whole. Behind the illustration was a blank page with a question asking whether the illustration was properly understood. The blank page contained a similar magical power to the illustration that could be filled and erased according to the gestures made by Sung Cho's finger or by a strong mental image. Sung Cho was initially intimidated by the book's unusual approach to presenting the material and its questions, but he was curious about the content and began to earnestly solve the questions given. He focused on carefully observing the movements of the ever-changing shapes and in understanding the logic that was behind them. He was soon able to draw out everything he had understood onto the blank page by using his imagination, which resulted in a visual shape. Impressive! You have succeeded in solving the first problem in understanding magical formations, elementary. Reward, intuition plus one. Intuition had risen by solving a simple problem. Before moving on to the next page, Sung Cho flipped to the final page and confirmed that there were still 50 problems remaining. He returned to the front and resumed solving from where he had left off. By the time Sung Cho had reached the 13th problem, he saw through the many windows of the hall that it was already dark outside. Leonard Sanctum, who had been lying on the hammock leisurely, must have left the hall in the meantime. It seems like a lot of time has passed. He had managed to raise his intuition by 5 just through solving some problems over the course of the day. Whenever the problem felt slightly difficult, he was assured to gain additional intuition. He wanted to solve the problems for a while longer, but he had promised that he would go meet with Christian tonight. He slipped a bookmark into the page that he was currently on and returned it to Altugius. I have prior engagements, so I'll take my leave. I'll return the book for now and come back tomorrow. Altugius looked at Sung Churl with a scowl before receiving the book with an emaciated arm. Sung Churl nodded and headed towards the exit. The old mage opened the book and took a peek at where the bookmark had been left. Suspicion rose in Altugius's eyes.
You, over there,
he called out to Sung Churl, who was reaching for the door. When Sung Churl turned around, Altugius spoke with his steely voice laced thick with disdain.
Did you really solve it up to this part?
He opened the book to the page marked by Sung Churl and pointed at it with his finger. Sung Churl lightly nodded his head. Is there a problem?
No. No problem at all.
Altugius closed the book and returned to his seat. When the old man turned silent once more, Sung Churl opened the door and headed outside towards the setting sun. When the door finally closed, the old man, who had been showing nothing but disdain from the start, stared at the book in utter bewilderment and disbelief as he looked at the page marked by Sung Churl.
A freshman who could solve up to the 13th problem within a quarter of a day? Unbelievable! Isn't this a talent that has not been seen in the past 100 years?
Rather than a talent, it would have been more accurate to attribute it to his experience. Sung Churl had been fighting fallen mages with his life on the line even before he had managed to obtain his overwhelming strength. The tense moments of life and death that repeated continuously led Sung Churl to acquire the instincts to cope with magic as he experienced it firsthand with his body. After a certain point, he had grasped how to predict what kind of magic his opponent would be using by the brief flicker that appeared as the mage chanted. In other words, by looking at the shape of the magical formation. He had struggled at first and had almost lost his life a few times by predicting it incorrectly, but his experiences gradually helped in perfecting this skill. Even during the battle with the Grand Mage Balzark, the head of the infamous Followers of Calamity and the Devourer of Souls, Sung Churl overcame his opponent of higher renown than his own by predicting the mage's magic and acting first. For someone who is able to accurately predict spells based on magic formations that didn't last over a tenth of a second, Altugius's book was nothing more than a low-difficulty rite of passage. Altugius logged into the magic network, which was available across the entire academy. He was looking for information on this unknown student who had left quite an impression on him. He was alarmed at the name, then once again when he read the name of the dorm the student was assigned to.
What? He was assigned to the House of Recollections? How can that be? That can't be!
Between these two shocking events, it was the latter that caused him to tremble so intensely. The old man's eyes fluttered vigorously. He immediately pulled a staff from the air and tapped it on the ground. The magical lift that had been inoperable until now spewed mystical lights as it reactivated. The old mage then rode the lift down the cliff and headed towards the House of Recollections.
Sarasa! Sarasa!
The old mage called out a girl's name with a hurried voice as soon as the tightly shut doors of the eerie dorm flew open. The blonde girl revealed herself beyond the hallway like an apparition. The old man approached the girl and held her hand tightly in both of his and asked her cautiously,
Sarasa, did anything strange happen?
The blonde girl looked at the hurried old man as though he was crazy before pulling her hand away and spoke with a shocked expression.
Eh? What is this crazy talk? There's no reason anything strange would happen.
The girl who had been looking at the old man with an exasperated expression suddenly recalled something and said,
Ah, some weird guy came here. He said something about the aged Jorgbart assigning him to this dorm. I tried to scare him away, but maybe because he's a summoned, it didn't work.
I see. Sarasa, I was worried. I thought something might have happened to my sweet Sarasa because of that guy.
Altugius looked at the girl with a worried gaze once more and expressed concern. Sarasa only looked annoyed and shot back with a sharp tongue.
What do you mean something could happen? I'm the strongest student on leave. It might not seem like it, but I'm still a lich, you know.
At that moment, her eyes lit up with a frightening blue glow and froze the surrounding air instantly.
I know.
Regret flashed across the old man's eyes. He worried that his excessive concern had reopened a past wound for the girl. Sarasa looked directly at the conflicted old man before placing both of her hands onto his that held the staff.
Don't worry, Grandpa. Shouldn't we be more worried about you than about me?
The little girl's hands were as cold as the breath which came from her lips.
It still isn't too late. It might be wiser to transfer from Erfurt to Logothete.
When they met, Christian's appearance had improved once more, especially his crude wooden claw, which had been in place of his left hand, had been replaced with a prosthetic that somewhat resembled a human limb. Song Chul watched Christian manipulate his new prosthetic to hold his drink with a passing gaze before speaking. Is the state of Erfurt that bad?
Yes. There was a full-time headmaster before, but after Magnus's questionable death, the headmaster's position has been empty for 3 years now. There have been several motions to appoint a new headmaster from the faculty, but the fierce conflict from the main schools, the School of Pyromancy and the School of Cryomancy, has continuously delayed it, which caused the academy to fall into its current desolate state. To make matters worse, the followers of Calamity have also appeared. It could be said that Erfurt's fate is sealed.
Christian hung his head and deeply apologized to Sung Chul for his poor decision. However, Sung Chul didn't show much of a reaction. He was only interested in one thing. Is there more to gain from Erfurt, or is there more to gain from Logothete? Christian answered readily as though he had been waiting for this question.
Logothete is a rising name. It can't be compared to Erfurt that has stood for thousands of years, but it has proven to be very stable without much internal conflict in comparison. It also has the greatest professors of the Necromancy School of Magic.
Necromancy School. This school of magic was useless to Sung Chul. What he needed was a single powerful blow rather than an army of corpses.
It is difficult for me, who had recommended it, to say this, but Erfurt has lost its ability as an educational institute. If I had known of this ahead of time...
If Christian went as far as to say this much, it had to be the truth. At the very least, he wasn't someone who would bluff or exaggerate the truth. With just this much, Sung Chul's heart already settled on transferring from Erfurt to Logothete. But there was something he wanted to confirm before making up his mind. Do you know of the old man named Altugius Cero?
Yes, I've heard of him. He never managed to leave much of a name behind. But there is a rumor that he is the greatest cosmomancer that Erfurt Academy has ever made.
Oh? Curiosity flashed in Sung Cho's eyes. The old man looked like someone that had been forgotten in the flow of time, but to have such a history... Sung Cho recalled the old man's back when he was sitting alone in the empty hall before he asked his next question. Then why couldn't he leave his mark on anything? If one had the skill, his name would naturally be left behind in history, whether that was through fame or infamy.
I'm not sure. Well, that's something I can't confirm, but according to rumors, I heard he caused a huge incident during his formative years.
An incident?
Yes, it even led to him killing the vice captain of the Assassin's Guild in a duel.
That's hard for me to believe. Suspicion rose in Sung Cho's mind. The assassin class was known to be the bane of the mage class. In a duel between two equally skilled opponents, it was certain for the mage to be killed by the assassin. Assassins had many techniques that could be used for negating a mage's attack and could force a critical blow to a mage in just an instant. If this assassin was the vice captain, the second best of the Assassin's Guild, in a one-on-one combat, this was a scenario any average mage would have no hope of winning.
Is that the truth? Could be. I can't say that I know the truth behind it. I've only heard of it as a rumor that was floating around, after all.
But if it is the truth, the Assassin's Guild wouldn't have left Altugius alone, would they? If Christian's story was true, there was no way that Professor Altugius could still be breathing. The assassins lived by the ironclad rule that 10 brothers had to take revenge for the death of a brother. If someone with the rank of vice captain were to die, then the head of the guild himself would call for a kill command. He recalled a certain dark-skinned man's face in his hazy memories.
Shamal Rajput. If that guy handled it personally, not only Altugius, but the entire Erfurt Academy would have been eliminated overnight.
Sung Cho looked at Christian with a bored expression while having these thoughts. Christian, who felt that he was being interrogated, spoke nervously.
I can't guarantee this, but as far as I know, the Assassin's Guild that lost their vice captain and Erfurt Academy entered into some kind of agreement, and Professor Altugius disappeared from the public eye.
Sung Cho stroked his chin and nodded. That made more sense. The news of the number 2 of the Assassin's Guild, the guild that was known to be the gathering of the greatest of assassins in the world, losing a duel against an unknown mage would have plummeted the guild's reputation into the dirt. It would have been a more profitable trade for the guild to simply hide the truth by locking up Altugius within the school.
What will you do then? If you wish to go to Logatete, I'll get you set on the procedure. After all, there's still some gold and jewels remaining.
Sung Cho stood at a crossroads once again. Erfurt Academy had lost its function as a school, and the rumors regarding Altugius weren't reassuring. Thus, if he remained within Erfurt, it would mean he would be taking on a very heavy risk. However, Sung Cho still favored Erfurt in his mind. He couldn't say for sure, but this moment felt extremely similar to when he had first stepped onto Eckert's trials. Whether it would be a boon or not was something that could only be determined after he took off the lid. But Sung Cho was an unreasonable glutton when it came to growth. He would take the path with the greatest danger if it also had the greatest rewards.
I'll remain in Erfurt. If I can learn magic from the man who defeated a vice captain of the Assassin's Guild, there would be nothing better than that.
The next day, the newcomer made his way to the Cosmomancy building. Rather than a student, the man's clothes resembled that of a homeless person. The man climbed up the cliff to report to the observatory every morning. He borrowed the book from an old and stubborn professor and read the book until late into the night. After a week had passed, he had completed the book he had received from the old man and spoke when he returned it this time.
Are there no other books?
The old man didn't speak as he pulled out another book from his soul storage. One book, two books, three books. The books he pulled out from the storage continued to increase in number. When Altugius had pulled out the 18th book, he curtly spoke to this mysterious man he had yet to accept as his disciple.
I'll lend you these books, but I'm only going to lend you books, nothing else.
Sung Cho steadily looked at the books that were piled up to his height, grabbed one, and went to a corner to pore over it.
What an odd fellow.
It wasn't an act or a trick. Sung Cho was genuinely holding the magic tome and reading its contents as he turned the power written within the tome into his own. That genuine passion was enough to awaken some forgotten emotion that lay buried deep within Altugius. The way he looked at Sungchul began to change, but he couldn't find it in himself to express any such emotions, which was all because of the wolfish bastard lying lazily on the hammock who was watching him carefully. When their eyes met, Leonard Sanctum gave a strange smile while muttering aloud,
"Ah! When will I get to learn some cosmomancy? Doesn't anyone feel bad for the disciple that only has his dear old teacher in his heart?"
This former disciple of his was currently a follower of Calamity.
"You, over there!"
It was unprecedented for Altugius to be the first to speak to Sungchul. But Sungchul didn't respond to this. He was instead devoting all of his attention to reading his books.
"You there! Summoned!"
On the second beckoning, Sungchul raised his head and looked at the old mage. Leonard Sanctum, who had been lying on his hammock, heard the voice and began to raise his body to look over as well. Altugius started to speak.
"It looks to me that you've spent all your time here since you've been admitted. Do you have a guidance counselor?"
"No, I do not." Sungchul couldn't recall ever hearing of such things. A soft muttering spilled out of Altugius's lips.
"Even if the school is in its current state, to not share such basic information."
Leonard seemed to share this opinion.
"Oh my, a week has passed and you still haven't chosen a guidance counselor?"
The lighthearted voice echoed in the empty hall. After a brief moment, Sungchul asked his question.
"What is a guidance counselor?"
Altugius's silver brows trembled lightly upon hearing his words. To not know such basic information that all freshmen ought to know. It was a damning proof that showed that the academy had begun to crumble at its very foundations. This would have been unthinkable back when Altugius, or even Leonard, were freshmen at Erfurt. The observatory rang out in Leonard's laughter.
"Oh my goodness! A freshman that doesn't even know what a guidance counselor is! These truly are some dark times!"
He fell back onto the hammock and closed his eyes, a smirk on his face. As the silence returned, Altugius looked directly at Sungchul and spoke quietly.
"I apologize, but as I have said before, I have no intention of teaching anyone, and therefore I cannot be anyone's guidance counselor. Seek someone else."
"I understand." Sungchul spoke indifferently and returned to reading his book with intense focus as usual, unrelentingly. There wasn't a more joyous sight for an educator than to see such a studious attitude from a brilliant student, but it only made Altugius burn with anxiety.
"This fellow, maybe he isn't aware of the consequences of not selecting a guidance counselor."
All freshmen must choose a guidance counselor within 10 days, and those who didn't find an educator within 10 days would lose the right of being a student. This was initially a rule set in place to allow professors to work together to cast out undeserving students who entered the school using underhanded methods. But the circumstances had changed. If the academy had been operating normally, the freshman orientation would have been organized, and through the orientation, the students would have been informed of all of the academy's expectations of them. However, in the current state, with the stunted flow of students they had, the welcoming ceremonies had all long since been done away with, and there was no one left for them to teach. If he had chosen the popular schools of pyromancy or cryomancy, the assistants would have given him the proper procedures, but there was no such service within the school of cosmomancy. Sungchul continued to wrestle with the books for another day in the observatory, clueless about what was about to happen to him. Altugius's concerns only grew deeper.
"That fellow. At this rate, he'll be expelled in 3 days from now."
The problem was that Leonard Sanctum, who had promptly left the observatory during the evenings, was almost spitefully holding his ground. He would only get up from his hammock and leave the observatory after Sungchul left. His intentions were clear. He wanted to rid himself of the annoying presence that had appeared at the observatory, and he could do so without having to get his hands dirty. A similar situation occurred the next day. The shabby man, who didn't even have a uniform, immersed himself in the pile of books which towered as high as he was. He didn't speak, and instead devoted himself to the books, except when he went to leave for lunch. Altugius waited for his opportunity to warn Sung Churl about the impending danger, but Leonard rose from his hammock each time so as to remind Altugius of his presence. He smiled brightly on the outside, but Altugius knew of his heinous personality hidden within. If Altugius expressed any concern for Sung Churl, Leonard would use that as an excuse to try and force Altugius to teach the secret of cosmomancy that was held by Altugius. That would be absolutely unacceptable. If the secret of Airfruit, which had been guarded for generations, were to fall into the hands of the followers of Calamity, the destruction of the world would only accelerate. "It is okay with just me getting my hands dirty." Altugius remained silent in the end and didn't rise. Two afternoons passed like this. There was only a single day remaining on the clock, but Sung Churl remained fixated in his studies. Altugius wasn't observing Sung Churl because of his brilliant mind, but for his incredible tenacity. A question rose in his mind. Why would a summoned from the other world be so attracted to a niche school of magic? And so, he ended up asking directly.
"That book, do you understand what you're reading?"
The question had a hidden meaning behind it, one which revealed the old man's intent. Leonard, who knew about it, smiled widely again as he said,
"Teacher is getting quite mischievous."
He knew about the book that Sung Churl was reading, and the books within the pile that were towering over Sung Churl as well. The ball was now in Sung Churl's court. Sung Churl, who was face down reading his book, raised his head, not too quickly nor too slowly, and looked at Altugius. There was a brief moment of silence, after which Sung Churl shook his head.
"I've been digging into it for a week now, but honestly, I don't understand it one bit."
A breath of sigh escaped from Altugius's lips. It wasn't to rebuke Sung Churl's ignorance, but rather rebuke his inability. The books that he had given to Sung Churl were not meant to be understood from the very beginning. They required foreknowledge and a certain amount of intuition before their contents could be understood. As long as the prerequisites had not been met, the reader could do nothing but become lost in the maze of words. The answer Sung Churl had given was the expected one.
"This fellow."
The time that seemed to be crawling along now sped up as Altugius opened his mouth once again.
"Why have you not asked me a question if you didn't understand?"
At this question, Sung Churl closed the book and spoke in a matter-of-fact manner.
"Isn't that because you are not yet my teacher?"
A feeling of shame and anger churned within Altugius as he met Sung Churl's firm gaze. He didn't express it, but his guts were violently twisting, and his legs felt quite weak. Altugius wordlessly returned to his own seat. He could feel Leonard's gaze searing into his back, but he ignored it and thought of Sung Churl. He thought of a convenient yet undesirable truth that he had been forgetting.
"That's right. He was in the House of Recollections."
That evening, Altugius Cero sought out his granddaughter, who was residing within the House of Recollections, and began a conversation with a voice full of affection amidst countless eavesdropping ears.
"How is the new student? Does he look to be doing well? He has been very busy since the last time I saw him, and he doesn't even have his own uniform either. No matter if he is a summoned, what kind of Airfruit student doesn't keep such basic decorum?"
Sarasa's face, who had been listening to her grandfather's story, grew sour. That night, Sung Churl encountered an unexpected guest in his room. Sarasa had pulled up a chair and had been waiting for him in his room.
"It is time for some special ethical education, freshman."
The lich girl's eyes had an azure glow. Sung Churl felt that the girl's sudden visit was quite odd, but he remained silent and waited for her to continue. Sarasa held something out towards Sung Churl.
"You, have you gotten this? You haven't, have you?"
It was an official student handbook made from lambskin. There was the name of its owner written on the first page of this well-used notebook, clearly looking worn with all of its frayed edges. "Sarasa Zero."
"Huh?"
Curiosity sparked in Sung Churl's eyes, but he didn't express any of it and simply nodded in response.
"I haven't received such a thing."
Sarasa sighed and spoke again.
"I'll lend you this one, but read over the freshman's attitude that's written on the second page carefully.
He couldn't quite understand the reasoning behind her actions, but there didn't seem to be any hostility. Also, after having read so many phrases of undecipherable text, he felt drawn to read something legible for once. Sung Churl obediently did as Sarasa had asked. Freshman's attitude. 1. As an Erfurt student, I will maintain its dignity. 2. I will not become involved in unnecessary conflict.